Once upon a time, there was a king. And the king had a servant. All kings have servants. You heard this story? There's a king. There's a king. You're the servant? The servant? What? There was a king who had a servant, and he wanted the servant to fetch something off the top shelf.
So he says to his servant, climb the ladder.
We did this last year.
Go get. Oh, okay. Maybe you heard this. Yeah, there's more sheets on the back table. Okay. So the servant goes, and he starts to climb the ladder. And about halfway up the ladder, he decides, I'm in the mood to take a break. He looks around. The king's nowhere in sight. So he sits down on the rung. You ever try sitting on a rung of a ladder? Not so easy. He sits down on the rung. He leans himself over the rung. Makes himself comfortable. Takes out his iPod. He starts to relax. And the king comes along and sees him, lounging around. And he quickly jumps up. And he quickly climbs the ladder and goes to the top. Grabs the jar. Brings it back down. And the king says, I'm really disappointed with you. He says, what did I do wrong? I got, you asked for the jar. I got you the jar. He says, yeah, but I saw you were taking it easy halfway up the ladder. He says, well, what did you expect me to do? Jump from the ground floor to the top instantly? He says, no. What I expected you to do was to climb the ladder rung by rung in a normal fashion. I don't expect miracles. I don't expect you to fly. I want you to climb the ladder like a normal human being, get what you're supposed to do, and come back down. This mashal appears. Oh, stick figures. Sorry. This mashal appears in the Sefer Ruach Chaim, Ruach Chaim of Elijah on Pirkei Avos, and he says that the king is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the servant is obviously every single one of us. A Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us in our lives to try to grow at a healthy pace, not to get stuck halfway up the ladder. Not at the same time, Hashem doesn't expect us to fly to the top of the ladder. He wants us to take slow and steady steps to achieve greatness. So tonight's topic, which is called Stuck in Neutral, a Lesson in Greatness, is really about that. It's about striving for greatness. And it doesn't mean flying, to the top of the ladder in one leap. It means taking slow and steady steps to better yourself every single day. Okay, let's take a look at source number one. This week's Parsha. Okay, the source comes from the Tiferes Shlomo, the Rebbe of Radomsk, the Radomsk Rebbe, of Shlomo Cohen of Radomsk. And he's commenting on the twins inside of Rivka. She has these strange pains, and she says, if this is what's going to be, then what's the point of all of this? And Rashi tells us, as we know, I'm sure many of us know this Rashi, Perish Rashi, Overes al pischei Torah shel shem ve'ever, Yaakov ratzim afarachis l'seis. She'd walk past the shul, she'd walk past the base medrash, what would happen? Kicking. She'd walk past Overes al pischei avodas galilim, she'd walk past a house of Vodazara, and Esav would be kicking. And she didn't know that what? They were twins. Right? He named a Perish Zeh, says Rav Shlomo of Radomsk. Listen to what he says. He named a Pasuk Zeh, a Perish Zeh, Morel, a Pasuk Zeh, Morel Lanu a Torah Kedosha, Derech HaYishar LaAvodas HaBorei Baruch Hu. The Torah is teaching us a lesson in what it means to serve Hashem. Sheyeh Be'emes Uvetamim V'lo Yeh Darko Derech HaFachfuch. That a person shouldn't be. Now obviously we know the end of the story. There's two separate children inside of her. But what was she saying? Why was she so upset? Why did she say Lama Zeh Anochi? Yeah? She thinks that there's one child inside of her who can't make up his mind. One day he's a big tzaddik, the next day he's a big bum, and she says, if this is what it's going to be, so Lama Zeh Anochi. I can't live with a child like this. I don't want to have a child who's flopping back and forth. One day he's really into Judaism, the next day he's not feeling it so much. One day he's the first to Minyan, the next day he doesn't even go to Minyan. She says, I can't deal with such a child. Let's go on, let's continue. All right, jump a few words ahead. Kasher nimtza rabbe me'ame aretz. So says Rav Shlomo Radomsk, many people think, ki b'shasha osek b'torah v'tfila levavo klapid yivayer. Sometimes a person, when you're learning, when you're davening, you're really into it. Right, your heart's literally on fire, he says. But what happens? V'kasher hita'ef bo v'einanu. As soon as you stop, ki achor tefila tekev holech b'shrius libo. As soon as you're done davening, you decide, okay, davening, oh, davening, okay, I understand what davening's supposed to look like. But hanging out with my friends looks like something else. Has nothing to do with davening. Has nothing to do with night seder, hanging out in the base medrash. And immediately what happens? Libo chomeru mitaveh. His heart starts to have a desire for what? For secular things, for the pleasures of the world. And he says that's exactly what the beginning of the Torah teaches us. He says, take a look, top of the second column. He says, Zeh Perish Ha'inyan Vayar Elokim Asa'or Ki Tov. Hashem saw the light and it was good. What was wrong with the original light? When Hashem created light and he created darkness, what was the problem? Yeah, Michael, what's the problem?
It was so great that Shem didn't want Rosh Hashanah to enjoy.
Okay, there's another problem. Besides the light being so powerful, yeah? There was this blending of right? There was Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. There's Or V'Choshek blended together. And Chazal say, She'enenu Roy She'eshtam Shu Or V'Choshek B'Rebuvya. Hashem says it's not fitting that light and dark should be mixing together. What does it mean on a deeper level? He says, L'chore Eich La'avin, Eich Shaykh Lomar. What does that mean? What's the concept of light and dark mixing together? There's no such thing as light. You can't mix light and dark. No one in this, right? In our world today, you can't mix light and dark. If the lights are on, it's light. If the lights are off, it's dark. You don't have where, you know, you're walking and like you're in a patch of darkness and then you come through to light. It doesn't work like that. You can't have that blend of light and dark. So he says, what does it mean? He says, what it means is, or represents what? It represents a person who's walking the path of Torah. Choshech represents what? A person who's giving into his Yetzer Hara. And Hashem looks at the world and he says, you can't have a world, it's not going to work. You can't have a world where people are half into it and half out of it. I need to have a system where what? Where you're either with it or you're out of it. Now, obviously I could give a different shir where I could say that every little thing we do is important, and even if you're not fully into it, every little bit, that's also, there's truth to that in Dvar Torah also. But tonight's shir we're going to talk about being fully into it. Right? The title, Stuck in Neutral. Not being someone who gets caught halfway up the ladder and spends a lot of time in that stage. Now we know the Rambam. Everyone here has heard the Rambam. As Jews, we're supposed to take the middle path. Right? What are the two exceptions to that? What are the two traits where we're supposed to be extreme? Everything else, the middle path. How we spend our money, we take the middle path. Right? Many midos, we walk the middle path. Where do we go extreme? Yeah, Mr. Weintraub?
Anger and?
And gaiva. And being haughty. We try to be extremely humble, and we try to be extremely not angry. Right? So as Jews, we're very balanced. We try to walk the middle path. At the same time, the Jewish people are very extreme. Take a look at the pasuk, source number 2. Re'ei anochi nosein lefneichem hayom bracha uklala. The pasuk says, "Behold, Parsha A, I place before you today what? Blessing and curse. There's nothing in between. Guys, there's nothing in between blessing and curse.
None.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Hunan, an early right, a later version of the Svarno. I guess not. Look at the Svarno in source number 3. Habita urei shelo yihye in yanechal ofen benoni. A Jew can't strive for average, guys. A Jew can't say, I'm just going to be a benoni. I'm going to be a typical, you know, typical human being running around doing my thing. Kamoshu, look what he says, very harsh words. Kamoshu aminag bishara umos. He says that's how the rest of the world goes through life. Aiming for what? Shooting for what? Average. You know, an average Joe. You've heard that expression, an average Joe? Right? There's no in Judaism, there's no average Yosef. There's only great Yosef. There's no average Joe is not, that doesn't fly by us. That's how the rest of the world goes. There's two extremes. There's bracha, there's you're with it, you're on the team, you're fully committed to the team. If not, automatically what? There's klala, you're missing out, you're losing out. These are two extremes. You know what bracha means? Bracha means what? Success, beyond normal. What does klala mean? Complete failure. And he says, v'shneihem, and what's the pasuk say? V'shneihem lefneichem. They're both in front of you. And how do you decide? How do I know if I'm going to get bracha or klala? How do you decide? Look at the last three words in source number 3. La'asi kafi ma'ashe tivcharu. Depends what you choose. You choose. Every Jew has a choice to make. Do I want to chase after a life of bracha? Am I going to give it my all? Or am I going to automatically fall back and think that if I strive, because again, if you strive for average, what often happens is what? You end up with klala. You end up as a failure. You don't achieve what you're meant to achieve. Escalator, exactly. You're going down. If you're not moving up, you're going down. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos, exactly. Okay, the Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal. We won't read it inside to save a little bit of time, so I don't get in trouble with the authorities. But in source number 5, if you want to look at it in your own town, I'll just share it with you outside. Imagine a guy who comes and he says, you know, can you lend me $500? It's a lot of money, I don't know. Alright, yeah, no, trust me, I have good plans for this money. $500, alright, fine. He's a good friend, you can trust him. You give him the $500. You say, listen, in a month from now, I expect all my $500 back. Okay, no problem. You come to him 30 days later. And you say, no, let's hear, how'd it go? You know, hopefully by now he's turned 500 into at least 1,000, right, 800. And he takes out this bag of coins, right, we'll go old school. Right, he takes out this big bag of these gold coins, $500 worth of coins, and he puts it down on the table in front of you, and you look at him, you say, what? I don't. He says, here's your money. He said, it's still in the same bag I gave it to you in. He says, yeah. He said, I can see you didn't even open the bag. Yeah. He says, well, I went out of my way to lend you my money. I had things that I wanted to invest in. I had good use for this money, and I gave it to you. You told me you were going to do something useful with it, and you didn't even try to do anything with it. I would have rather you have lost the money. At least try, do something, invest it, try something. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a neshama. Neshama is not a small investment. Hashem deciding to take a part of Himself, so to speak, right, and invest it in this world is a big investment. There's a lot of risk. But Hashem says, you know, He says to you, before you come down here, you think you can handle it? Yeah, it's going to be alright. I'll do something productive. So says the Chafetz Chaim, imagine a person goes back to Shemayim after 120 years, and Hashem sees you didn't do anything with your neshama. You didn't strive for greatness. You didn't even strive for average. You didn't invest at all. And can you imagine what a disgrace that is? What an embarrassment that'll be? So he says, that's what the pasuk says when it says, "Neki chapai muvar leivav asher alon nasa l'shav nafshi." Right? Don't let your neshama, don't let your nefesh be l'shav for naught. Don't let Hashem's investment go to waste. You got to strive to do something with it. Okay. All right. Let's turn to page 2, and we'll kick it up a notch. Okay. This is supposed to make everyone think. This is not supposed to just be nice ideas. You're supposed to think about it and actually decide, what are we going to do with these ideas? Okay, there's a lot of nice ideas, but let's try to live it a little bit. Let's try to understand the beginning of Avodah Zarah. Where does Avodah Zarah start? I threw that question out. Where does Avodah Zarah begin? Yeah? Well, with worshipping the sun?
Worshipping
Hashem's creator. Okay, in what time period? Okay, Enosh. Right? Enosh. Take a look at the Ramban. The Pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Yud that Nimrod comes along, right? Nimrod, we know, is a big troublemaker. All right, there are some Rishonim who try to defend him. He's not such a bad guy, right? We've had guys in our guys in Y7 now, right? We've had people trying to defend Kayan, trying to defend the Nachash even a little bit. Okay, so some people try to defend Nimrod. He's not such a bad guy. Put a positive spin on him. But Chazal obviously had a certain picture of who this man was. And the Pasuk says that Hu Heichel Yos Gibor Baaretz. He began being a Gibor in the land. Says Rashi, this is Ramban quoting Rashi. Kos of Rashi. Lamrid kol ha'olam al HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzas dor haflaga. He caused the whole world to what? To rebel against Hashem. And he was one of the main instigators in the dor haflaga. Says the Ramban, whoa, hold on a second. Nimrod, what happened to Enosh? They were rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu before. Right? In the times of Enosh, there was already a concept of Avodah Zarah, of rejecting Hashem. So what do you mean Nimrod's the first guy to reject Hashem? Let the Ramban talk. We'll let the Ramban say this one. I know you probably know, but let's let the Ramban say it. Look what he says. V'im kein, hu eichel achar ha-mabul. He began, if it means he began, it means he began Avodah Zarah again after the Mabul. But he's certainly not the first one to do Avodah Zarah. He be made through Enosh Huchal. It had begun way before. Oh, listen to this Ramban. And understand what the essence of Avodah Zarah is. The Efshar Shenemar Ki Huchal B'dor HaFlaga Marad. He was the first one to what? To flat out reject Hashem. What about in the times of Enosh? Uvivei Enosh Lo Hayu B'mor De'or. In the times of Enosh, they didn't rebel against the light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the light, the Or Ein Sof. Right, as the deeper Svarim call him, Hashem was the great light. In the times of Enosh, they didn't outright reject Hashem. What did they do? Aval avdu gam l'Elohim acherim. They worshipped Hashem, and they also worshipped what? What else? Other things. Right? They didn't worship any. They didn't just worship idols. They didn't just worship the sun. They worshipped the sun as a way of worshipping Hashem. They worshipped the stars as a way of worshipping Hashem. And this is what the Rambam says in source number 6. He says the beginning of Avodah Zarah was a big mistake. What did people think? If Hashem created the sun, and the sun is so unbelievable, so I should praise the sun. That's my way of praising Hashem, through a middleman, through the sun, through the stars. But what happened? Over time, what happened? They only started worshipping the sun. They only started worshipping the stars. But look at the amazing part. Look what's underlined in source 6 in the Rambam. When they started worshipping the sun and Hashem at the same time, Zehaya Ikra Avodat Kochavim. This is the starting point of Avodah Zarah. And look what he says again, and where it's underlined. Lo Shein Omrim She'ein Sham Eloka Elo Kochav Zeh. It's not that they said that this star is the only thing. We worship the star and we worship Hashem. Rabosai, think about it. What are we saying the root of Avodah Zarah is? What are we saying the root of Avodah Zarah is? We're saying where I'm not here nor there. I'm a little bit into Hashem. I'm a little bit into worshiping stars. That's the root of Avodah Zarah. It's almost better, so to speak, and obviously not to take this literally, but it's almost better, so to speak, to be fully into Avodah Zarah. Because at least you're committed to something. You pick your team and you stick with it. But to be a Yankees fan and a Mets fan, what is that? It's a steer. It's not possible. It's not possible. You can't be a Giants and a Jets fan.
You like Yankees in Boston.
Right? Yeah, Yankees in Boston. That's even better. Right? It's not. It's a steer. It's a complete contradiction of terms. So we see the root of Avodah Zarah is a person who's a little bit wishy-washy. A person who's not fully committed, who's not sure which side he wants to be on. And that's why when Eliyahu and Har Carmel is battling the Nevi'e Baal in Sefer Malachim, I'm sure some of you have learned this before, right? And Eliyahu says to the Nevi'e Baal, come, we're going to have a showdown on Har Carmel. Look at what he says. Look at these words in source number 7. Vayigash Eliyahu al kol ha'am. Eliyahu goes over to the people. And he says to them the following, Vayomer, ad matai etem poskim al shtei ha'se'ifim. How long are you going to be on both sides of the fence? When are you going to decide? Im Hashem Elokim, l'chu achrav. If Hashem is the true God, then new, chase after Him. Go for it. V'im Baal, and if you're into this Baal, you're into this Avodah Zarah stuff, then you know what? L'chu achrav. Then go after that. V'lo anu am oto davar. And no one said a word. What's the pshat? Is Eliyahu really encouraging them? If you believe in Avodah Zarah, go to Avodah Zarah all out? So Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva, said, he was criticizing a certain institution that he felt was striking too much of a balance between Limud HaKodesh and Limud HaChol. Which again, for many of us, we'd say that's the ideal. Okay? I'm not saying this is my own opinion. But Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz felt that the Torah study was getting watered down. That people weren't taking Torah seriously. Okay, each person has to know what's appropriate for them, for their generation, for their community, whatever it is. But he felt it's getting watered down. And he said, what's Eliyahu HaNavi saying here? You can't sit on both sides of the fence. That's worse than doing the Avodah Zarah, so to speak. Make a pick. Which side are you on? Which team are you on? Are you with Hashem? If you're with Hashem, then be fully with Hashem. But you can't have this existence, right? Like the Tiferet Shlomo told us, where you're kicking to go out to a base of Avodah Zarah, and you're kicking when you pass the shul. It's a contradiction. It's dishonest. Okay? And it's the way for a person to never achieve their true greatness. Okay. The Torah tells us, in source number 8, Shamor v'shamates kol advar me'ela. Sometimes, what do people do? People try to bargain with Hashem. Right? Hashem, you know, I would like if I could, if you could, you know, do a miracle for me. If you would do a miracle for me, anyone ever hear this? You ever hear anyone say this? If Hashem would just come down from Shemaim and do an open miracle, then I'd be the first one to davening every day for the rest of my life. I'd have no yitzhar to stay in bed, right? I'd have no yitzhar for girls. I'd have no yitzhar for anything else that's tempting and trying to pull me away from a life of spirituality, right? I would have no yitzhar to ever watch TV. I would just sit and learn all day. If Hashem would just come down and give a little wave from behind the clouds, right? Maybe just like a little boss call action. Right? A little something. A little sign that he's out there. And I'll be perfect after that. Guess what? That's a big lie. You know why? What's the greatest proof of that? The Chazon Ish wrote a whole passage on this.
No reward.
How about... Yeah, how about we got the Torah and then we did Cheder Egel? Now, obviously Cheder Egel, you can say there's a lot of deep stuff going on there. But don't tell me just because you saw Hashem openly, oh, now you're going to be perfect. You have no Yetzirah. So if we like to bargain with Hashem, but we like to say, Hashem, listen, make it sense for me, and then I'll do it. Right? I'm committed to do it, I'm willing to do it, but only after it makes sense to me. Hashem doesn't work like that. Hashem wants to see, are you committed? That's like the guy who goes and says, you know, I only want to play on a championship team. I want to know that this team is definitely going to win championships, and then I'm committed to joining this team. But if it means like working to get to that point, that's not for me. That's not for me. Right? That's what a cop out. What a lowly way to live your life. Look what the Torah says. Shamor vishamata. What's the order? What does it mean, shamor vishamata? Do it, and then what?
Listen.
And then you'll hear it. Then you'll get it. If you don't jump in, if you don't give it a shot, if you're the type of person who's going to straddle the fence, you know, like the guy who's standing by the edge of the pool, like putting his toe in, just so, like wants to see, like trying to figure out, is it warm enough? He's standing there for like 45 minutes, right? Meantime, his friend who jumped in has been swimming laps for having a great time for 45 minutes. And then at the end, you know, I'm still not sure if it's too hot or too cold. Buddy, the pool's closing. You missed the boat, Right? Shamor v'shamat. You got to jump right in, give it a shot, and then you'll see. Once you're in the water, is it ever cold? Usually not.
Hypothermia.
Once you jump in, the water's great. Right? But when you're standing there, you know, dipping your toe in at the edge, and you want to see, is it hot, is it cold, I can't make up my mind, you'll stay like that the rest of your life. You'll never make a commitment. So the Torah says, Shamor v'shamata. Jump in. Do it. And then it'll start to get better. Guys, that's how Torah works. I'm telling you from personal experience. When I was your age, I don't even know if I'd be at this year right now. I don't know. First of all, I went to a very small school, so we didn't have, you know, a late night mishmar. That didn't exist in Philadelphia in my school of 40 students. Out of my grade.
Night Seder.
The whole school. Night Seder. There was Night Seder. I actually went to Night Seder. I was one of about 3 or 4 people. Twice a week. Mondays and Wednesdays. For an hour after school. Caught up, yeah. Moat was there sometimes. Caught up on some sleep, usually during a little Night Seder. I mean, it's very embarrassing to, you know, like, you're falling asleep, there's only like 2 other people there. Okay, but I tried. But I didn't really, Kobe was not there. I didn't, we're on tape here. I can't say I really jumped in yet. I didn't jump in. I dabbled in it. I learned a little bit. I wasn't against Torah, but I wasn't excited about it like I am today. But when I went there to Israel, and I had more opportunities to learn, and I gave it a serious shot, and again, I went in with the hope of getting into it, all of a sudden it becomes pleasurable. Torah can be more fun than anything else. If you get into it, it can be more fun than, I know it sounds crazy, but you could actually enjoy it more. I don't learn because I have to. I do it because I enjoy it. It also happens to be a big mitzvah. But you can actually get a pleasure from it. But you have to jump in. And this is the difference between a person who just wants to do the bare minimum and the guy who wants to be a superstar. Look at source number 9. The Avodas Yisrael. The Kajit Sir Magid. For some of you, this is the first time you're ever hearing of this Sefer. It should be the first of many. Say Amen. You're supposed to say Amen when someone gives you a bracha. The Avodas Yisrael. One of the great Hasidic masters. Look at what he says. He says, we'll take it from the beginning. Dinei Ksiv, the Torah tells us, Utztaka tia lanu ki nishmor lasos es kol mitzvah zos. It'll be a great merit for you if you do all of this mitzvah. Dinei Misha oved es abore baruch hu b'chinas eved. If a person serves Hashem, like an eved does his job, but he's not that into it. V'osa ritzono. Eino osa ki yamashin etztave u'maspik et atzmo. An eved who has a job, his master says, do this. He does it. He does what he has to do, and then he quickly tries to go find somewhere else to hide in the palace so the master doesn't bother him with more work. Right? He does what he has to do. He does the bare minimum. It's okay. It counts. Ve'enu mitavesh yitztave od mipi adono. But he doesn't ask the master, oh, I finished my job. Is there anything else for me to do? No way. He goes off to the corner, tries to relax for a few minutes before the master catches him. Ge'enu oved me'ava rak me'ira. He serves out of fear. So he does what he needs to do, but is he particularly excited about it? Is he jumping for joy? Yes, more work? Of course not. Aval misha zocha la'avod Hashem yisbarach me'ava. But a person who serves Hashem what? Not out of fear, but out of love. What happens? Azu nichsaf u'mishtokek matai tavo ha'mitzvah liyadi ve'akaymena. When will I get another opportunity? He's excited. He finished davening shacharis. I can't wait for mincha. I don't think that's ever happened to me in my life. Learning is a different story by me. But davening, I can tell you, you finish, right? Your mom, your dad ask you to do something, help us out with something. Right? Take out the garbage. Your friend calls you up, can you help me study for my homework? Oh, I just finished studying, I have to help you now. Right? You don't finish then and say, yes, I hope someone else calls again so I can lose the rest of my night. You know, that doesn't happen. But a person who's excited about mitzvos, who's excited about opportunities, who serves out of love, is jumping for the next opportunity. He can't wait. Hashem, give me something else to do. I'm eager to do more. That's the difference between a person who serves out of fear and the person who serves out of love. Okay? And this is the difference between the guy who's on the fence, who's sort of interested but is not really sure on which team, right? Which side he's on, and the guy who makes a commitment and says, I'm on Hashem's team. Mila Hashem Eli. I'm totally into this. I'm going to give it my all. Yaakov says to his sons in source number 10, Vayar Yaakov ki yeshever b'Mitzrayim. Yaakov sees that there's grain in Mitzrayim, and he says to his sons, Vayomer Yaakov levanav, lama tisru? What are you looking at? Says the Svarno again. The Svarno apparently was very big on this idea. Give it your all. Don't rely on someone else. Lama tabitu zel zeh? Why are you looking at the next guy? They find out there's a famine, guys. They're starving. There's not even another option at this point. There's not like bonus points. Okay, I know Rashi says they still had some food. Yaakov's family. Right? And Yaakov says, don't stick out. So go down to Mitzrayim and get food like everyone else. But they're looking around. Oh, Reuven, why don't you go? Nah, Shimon, why don't you go? No, Levi, why don't you go? Everyone wants the next guy to go. Lama tabitu zelzeh. Why are you looking at the next guy? You go. You take care of it. You're not jumping at the opportunity to do the chesed, to go help out the whole family. Like the Gemara says in Erevin, Kedera debe shutfi lo chamima velo karira. A pot that's watched by two cooks is not going to be hot, it's not going to be cold. You know why? One guy's going to keep lowering the pot. Oh, it's too high, it's going to burn. And the other guy, oh, it's too low, it's going to... And you'll spend your whole... The cooks will stand there all day trying to figure out, why isn't this water boiling? What's going on here? A pot that's being watched by two... A person who's being governed by his Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, where he's flipping and flopping back and forth. Am I on this side? Am I on that side? He's never going to get anywhere in life. Lama Tisru, don't stand around waiting for someone else to motivate you. Decide on your own that you want to do it. Alright, we come to the final page. And we get a message from Rav Dessler. In the Michtav Me'aliyahu, translated into English, strive for truth. Okay, now guys, think about it. It would be nice to imagine that if we give it our all, we'll be on the level of the earlier generations. Maybe if I work really hard in Torah, I could be the next Vilna Gaon. And the answer is maybe yes. I'm not going to put it past anyone here. You have it in your ability. You're going to have to work hard. You have to be very dedicated, but it's possible. But we have an advantage. We have an advantage in our times. What's the advantage? Listen to the words of Rav Dessler in source number 12. In wartime, promising candidates are taken from the ranks of ordinary soldiers, and by a prodigious expenditure on skilled instruction and other requirements, are turned into officers in a fraction of the time normally required. What do you do if there's a war, and your army's not ready? What are you going to do? It takes years to become a general. Well, guess what? You're going to find a way to make generals overnight. How are you going to find a way to make generals overnight? Because your life depends on it. You're going to work exceptionally fast. You're going to be exceptionally focused to make sure that what? That we have an army to go out to battle, at least to put up a fight. So in times such as ours, says Rav Dessler, when capable men are scarce, most of the world could care less. Most of the world could care less about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They care less about God, whether they worship our God or another God. You think Christians are so serious about their God? I don't want tape, I shouldn't say anything so controversial. You think they're so serious? You think like going to church once in a while on a Sunday and then spending your vacation in Cancun, partying, that's a serious Eved Hashem, Eved God, whatever their God is? It's a joke, right? You're back and forth. You're out partying with your friends, and then you show up for church, and you go to the priest, and you say, I'm sorry. It's a big joke. They don't take it seriously. Attendance is so low in churches these days that they have like online church. You don't have to leave your house. It's great. Imagine that. Go to Minyan. Just go onto your computer. Log on to like shul.com. You know? You can be lying in bed putting on your tefillin. You don't have to open your eyes in the morning. Right? Can you imagine that?
You can become an ordained minister online.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you can get smicha online also. It could be a serious program. There's smicha online. But again, what's the caliber of seriousness? Is it a way to get a quick fix? The smicha online is not easy at all. I can tell you that. Okay, it's not an easy smicha at all. So in times such as ours, when capable men are scarce, anyone, guys, listen to the bracha of Rav Dessler. Anyone who shows willingness to tackle a vital problem has divine assistance heaped upon him. If you step up in times like these, Rav Dessler says you're going to be a success. If you give it a serious shot, you will be a success. It's a guarantee. You will be turned into a general. It turns the incapable into successful men, not because they deserve it. We're not on the level of the earlier generations. Let's not lie to ourselves. We're not on their level, but because the world needs them. The world needs them, says Rav Dessler. There's no choice. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to help you out. If you're willing to give it your all, I'm going to help you out. The Alter of Slobodka once said, and it's very similar to what Rav Dessler is saying here, a soldier who doesn't strive to become a general never fulfills his duty as a simple soldier. If you're going to be on a hockey team, if you're going to be on any team, basketball team, sorry. If you're going to be on a basketball team, right? And you're going to strive to be on the bench. So you failed your team. If you're not striving to be the star of the team, if that's not your ambition, if that's not your goal, so why are you playing? The author of Slobodka says a soldier who doesn't want to dream, doesn't at least dream of being a general, so then he's not even being a good soldier. He's not even being an average soldier. Because by definition, a soldier is going to be a person who's motivated to become a success. And it's very easy for us, before the success happens, right? It's very easy to say, oh, it's too hard. It's too hard. But after we're successful, it's easy to look back and say, oh yeah, this is what I did to get to where I am today. There was a guy who once said, that any fool can count the seeds in an apple. Right? Once you have an apple, you cut it open, you count the seeds. How many seeds are in an apple? I don't know. Six? Always six? Four? Five? I think it's five, no? Yeah, I think it's five. So any fool can count the seeds in an apple. Listen to this quote. Any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in one seed. You hear? Am I going to take this seed and develop it into something? How much can I produce? Right now all I have is a little seed in front of me. But do I have what it takes to turn it into apples? And more apples? And more apples? You like that? It's a good quote. Someone once came, guys, give me five more minutes, we'll wrap up. Someone once came to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rav Zonnenfeld was a very intense, serious Rav, one of the rabbis, the chief rabbis of Yerushalayim. And they came to him and they asked, we're starting a new school, okay? We want the Rav's approval. We want a haskama. We want a letter of recommendation that you give us blessing that this school is going to be a success. So he says, okay. He says, let me just ask you one question. He says, is your school set up in such a way that Mashiach can come from your school? Is it possible that Mashiach will come from your school? You remember this?
The sign.
I did put up the sign.
Someone took it down.
Someone who doesn't dream as big as me probably pulled it down.
Somebody who knew that.
Right? I put up this Dvar Torah on a sign last year. I hung it up in the halls. Can Mashiach come from the school? By the way, you should know, for those of you who don't know, there was a student in TABC a number of years ago whose name was Mashiach. There was a student. I'm serious. That's not a joke. There was a student in TABC named Mashiach.
Mashiach
ben David.
Mashiach's name is Mashiach.
Okay, good. But Lamaisa, are we setting up an environment? And the school wasn't confident that the answer was yes. Yeah, candidate. The school wasn't confident that they were going to be able to produce Mashiach. So Zonnenfeld said, I can't write a scumma for a school that can't strive for Mashiach. Is it realistic that TABC is going to produce a Mashiach?
Yeah.
I don't know. But if we don't strive for that, so what are we striving for? What are our goals? What are we driven for? Right? What do we hope to achieve? Guys, two final sources. Let's take a look at source 15. Again, the Tiferes Shlomo of Adamsk. Look what man can achieve. You know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there were angels in Shemayim that said, you're wasting your time. It's a waste of time. It's not going to go anywhere. These people are just going to let you down. Why are you bothering to create this world? So take a look again from the Tiferes Shlomo. Take a look in the fourth line. Look what he says. Hine mevuar bezohar hakadosh, ki elu hamalachim hein heima mitchilas b'riyas ha'adam. We all know about the malachim that come to Avram in Parshas Vayera. Listen to what the Zohar says. Unbelievable. Who were the malachim? It was the same malachim who at the beginning of time said, don't bother making man. He's going to let you down. So Hashem says, oh, man's going to let you down? Man's going to let you down? Take a look. Asher amru ma'enosh ki tizkerenu. Why bother with man? He's a failure. Ach Hashem yisbarach eshivam. Hashem says to them, ki kol ha'olam nivra b'shvil sheyatzat tzadik echad sheshmo Avram. The whole world's worth it for one man. For Avram alone. Echad haya Avram, the Pasuk says. And therefore what? V'lachein nishalchu ha'malachim ha'elu ha'elav. Hashem sent those malachim back down. Go see. Go see about the man you mocked. And said he's going to be a failure. He's not going to become anything. Go look what Avram became. And Avram's sitting there, tying and untying his bandages at a very painful moment in his life. And the Malachim see him, they're terrified, they run away from him. And it says, Vayar Vayawat the cross, and he's chasing after them. You're scared of me. Because you realize how great I am. You realize what I've become. People have to realize that in America, we can also have great people. Everyone thinks, before the Holocaust, there were great people. There were people who were new Torah, 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds, who knew all of Gemara inside out, who knew Navi, knew Shas, knew everything inside out, right? There's no reason you can't have that in America. And I conclude with the words of Rav Mordechai Gifter, the great Rosh Yeshiva from the Telz Yeshiva. Take a look. In the summer, when I give my shiurim, I always say to people, like I tell about a particular source in the sheet, I say, this is the one you got to cut out and stick in your wallet. So if you're going to cut anything out and stick it in your wallet, take this one. In America, however, he's talking to parents. Okay? He's talking to parents. But a Rebbe is also a parent, so I'm your parent, and I'm telling you, I'm transmitting these words from Rav Gifter to you. In America, however, we have not yet succeeded in producing a tradition of greatness in the field of Torah study. We cannot be content, therefore, with raising merely observant children, mitzvah children. People want average. My kid should be religious. He should keep Shabbos. He should keep Yom Tov. He should daven. He should keep kosher. He should marry a Jewish girl. He was writing this already 30 years ago. If Jewish parents wish to guarantee a truly Jewish life of mitzvah performance, they must expend the greatest possible effort, and they must sacrifice to help create and fashion outstanding Torah personalities from among the American youth. Look what he says. Let us not make the mistake of thinking that American young people do not possess the raw material of Torah greatness. There's nothing that no one in this room was created any differently. Your neshama is not any smaller than people who were your age who had finished us. Maybe we're a little behind in the game. Maybe we don't have the same environment. Right? The world has changed a lot and it makes it more difficult. But he says that's false. It's completely false. We have among us as well the young genius who should become the goon, the sage. We lack only the insight and the sense of colossal necessity to create gedolim and goonim. What is he saying? We're not committed enough. We don't have it as a goal for ourselves. Listen to what he says. Listen to this. We understand the need for a Jonas Salk to combat the crippling effect of infantile paralysis. Right? We understand people who need to make medicine to make sure that little kids won't be paralyzed. But we don't even begin to comprehend our need for the Torah giant who will combat the paralysis caused by superficiality in Jewish life. We're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure physically diseases that once were so deadly, polio and all sorts of things that used to destroy people, kill right communities. We got rid of those, but we're not yet committed to the same thing when it comes to our spiritual life. To making sure that we have the best possible, the healthiest spiritual life. And because of this, we fail to respond to the most compelling needs of our time. How far have we gone towards making Amal HaTorah the generating force of Jewish living? Is that the thing that motivates us when you wake up in the morning? Is that the first thing you're thinking? How much can I learn today? How much can I grow? How far have we gone towards creating Zakenim, Gedolei Ador, Gedolei Torah? Ours is a day of specialization. How far have we gone towards implanting in the young minds and hearts of day school children the dream of becoming a Torah specialist? Who here dreams of becoming a Torah specialist? You don't have to raise your hand, but who here dreams of it? How many of them dream of becoming a Chofetz Chaim, or a Chaim Brisker, or a Meir Simcha, or a Chazon Ish? And I'll end with a story, two stories. One is about Rav Gifter himself. When Rav Gifter was a little kid, growing up in America, talk about someone who practiced what he preached. When Rav Gifter was a young kid growing up in America, he used to collect rabbi cards. I don't know if you've ever seen those. Maybe you've seen those. Torah cards. I remember when I was a kid, I used to have, I don't even know where I got them, but I had like these big like color photos with the rabbi's name on the back. It was like, it was a whole thing. And Rav Gifter had a photo album. Listen to this story, guys. He had a photo album where he used to keep these cards. And his parents noticed that one of the spots was blank. They noticed one of the spots was blank.
That's me.
And one time they picked up his photo album, they looked a little closer, and they saw there was a little note folded inside. And they opened it up, and they saw what was written there. Listen to this. Rav Gifter, as a little boy, wrote himself a little note and put it into the photo album. And he wrote the following. Mordechai, speaking to himself, Mordechai, if you learn well, v'ta'amol b'Torah, gamotcha yachnisu lakan b'rabot ha'amim. One day, your picture will be in this album. V'im lo, and if not, if you're not committed, tishayar b'chut, you're going to remain on the outside. Rav Gifter became, he was the Rosh Yeshiva that tells Yeshiva. He's one of the great, right, premier Rosh Yeshiva in America. You open up any art scroll book, you'll see letters from Rav Gifter at the beginning. He was someone who was revolutionizing learning in America. But he was someone as a young person who realized that I can also be a part of this book one day. I can also count myself amongst the Gedolim cards. And I'll conclude with the story of a lesser known Jew, a well-known Jew, probably most of you don't even know that he was a Jew, Harry Houdini. You heard of Harry Houdini?
Yeah, I've heard of him too.
Harry Houdini was born Eric Weiss. Yeah. Eric Weiss, Jewish kid, his father was a rabbi, a Jewish kid.
He wasn't brought up so religious.
Harry Houdini one time was challenged by a prison warden to try to break out of a certain jail cell. And obviously Harry Houdini's specialization, right, like Rav Gifter said, a generation of specialization, his specialty was breaking out of anything. So they put him into this jail cell, and they closed the door. And he sat there and he started working on this bolt to try to crack it. and he's working, and he's working, and he's working, and he's working, and he's getting tired from it. He's trying all his techniques, whatever it was that, you know, Harry Houdini used to do. Nothing. And he's working, he can't seem to flip this bolt. And after a long period of time of working, and the jail, right, the warden sitting on the other side, reading a paper, waiting to see how long it's going to take for, you know, the famous Harry Houdini to break out. Harry Houdini, in a moment of frustration, just puts down whatever it was that he was using to, you know, to crack his way out, and he just collapses. He leans up against the door to catch a breath, and the door flings wide open. Swings right open. And the door was never locked. The door wasn't locked. He's sitting there trying to pick the lock. He didn't realize the thing was never locked to begin with. It looked like it was locked, but the thing wasn't even locked. How often do we lock ourselves in? We think we're locked in. Right? We think, I can only be so great. I know my ability. Night Seder, that's where my ability ends. Sunday's my day off. Right? We think we know our ability. But just like Harry Houdini, who sat there thinking, oh, you know, how do I break out? Maybe there's no lock to begin with. Maybe it's not as far off as you think. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all strive. Right? Like Rav Dessler has blessed us. We live in a time where we can do it. There's not a lot of people who want to sign up to be generals. So we should all strive for greatness. We should make sure we don't spend our time sitting on the fence. And Mirtz Hashem will all be zochah to become the American Gedolim that Rav Gifter is speaking of. Okay. Go ahead.